League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Travis Johnson. Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back.
What up, H-Town, on an F-Friday, which means fun, fanatical, football, plenty of other things. Travis Johnson here to my left, Nick Shirara behind the glass. As we get ready to roll, and always kick some ass, it just came to me. I did not put this, I don't think, on any rundown.
Yeah.
But I wanted to get your guys' opinion, and you can find the video, I believe, online. But you talk about having a bad day. There was a cheerleader last night at UCLA.
UCLA.
Yep, that too. My wife went there. They were retiring, by the way, Dick Enberg, a jersey for Dick Enberg, Hall of Fame broadcast.
Yep.
So the cheerleaders do a pyramid. One of the higher-up blonde cheerleaders, not that it matters what color her hair is, slips out from the pyramid, goes all the way down on the hardwood where she hits her back and smacks her dome. So a male cheerleader scoops her up and is running off the court. And as he gets to the corner of the court, he slips on a giveaway bag that was on the floor.
That's funny.
And drops her for the second time.
That's funny.
And she bounces off the hardwood. And you know, obviously there's no concussion protocol.
Wouldn't be the first time she bounced off a hardwood.
I'm not getting into all that. you never know. She might be a very, very good child of the UCLA system in previous. But there is obviously no concussion protocol. But the first thing that the people said was, oh, she's okay because she's standing on her own and walking around.
It's not exactly a
good medical recap, but okay.
That's funny. Man, what's new, man? I missed you this week, man.
I miss you too, brother.
Dang, it's tough,
man. You're always moving and shaking.
Oh, I gotta tell you, man, I'm not going to be here next Friday.
Oh, another one.
No, but I'm letting you know, man. It's your show.
I appreciate that. Yeah, the powers that be will need you.
Yeah, you are the power that be.
No.
Fight the power that be. Mm-hmm. That's why I'm fighting you right now.
You fight... You know what? That's the other. Oh, by the way, I thought about this. So yesterday, Barry's like set on doing these kind of like in station Olympics.
What is that?
Like it started on Radio Row where he wanted me to challenge people, and then he wanted us to challenge other shows
to do what?
Like, I mean, first of all, it was throwing contests and running and sprinting and in you know obstacle courses. But then yesterday, he throws out there he wants me to grapple with AJ. I'm like, that's not going to happen.
Well, why would you? AJ's a fighter. I mean, right. Why don't you grapple with AJ?
No, he wanted me
No, I'm saying, why don't Barry grapple with AJ?
Well, what I was going to say was, why don't you? If we're going to go show against show, I'd put you up against AJ and stay out of it.
That's why to who?
You.
And I whoop AJ ass.
That's exactly what I mean.
Man, I don't play them type of game.
Like I said, Nick and Jung, they could. Now, if they want to grapple it out, I think people would actually pay to see that.
But I just don't play games like that. Like, I'm not going to – I don't – like, growing up, I didn't play slap fighting. Or I didn't play shadow boxing. Or like, I didn't do none of that.
By the way, those old – when they used to have those slap fests and everything like that.
Like, I didn't play them type of – I tell people all the time. Like, I go from 0 to 100 right now. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not no –
A Get Me driver saw it last week.
It's not no let's have fun and I just touched here. No, I fight for real. Like mm-hmm. I didn't grow up with that plan.
Well, you don't have to convince me of that.
Yeah, but I'm just telling you, I don't see how people do it.
You were ready to come out of a deep sleep to rescue him in Midtown. So I think that you don't have to convince me. I don't think you have to convince the listeners of that. There's a reason why amongst other reasons why you played in the NFL.
Yeah, I mean, it is what it is, but yeah, I think we should make Barry should grapple with AJ, and let's see what they do.
And then make him put
two leotards on.
I told AJ afterwards, and lube up, that's like lube me up saying like I'm going to shoot threes with him.
Yeah,
and he's like, I don't play basketball. I go, exactly, and I'm not an MMA or whatever. So,
but yeah, no.
Nick said he didn't think that he would be favored in. I think Nick did find a few events that he could be favored in.
What was the events though?
But we haven't really decided. But
like
I mean,
like bong smoking or something. What would the events be like?
I think it's kind of all being made up on the fly, to be honest. See, one of Barry's suggestions was tricycle racing. And I believe that he said people...
Is it like the big tricycle or like the little itty-bitty tricycles?
See, these are things that I don't... These are details that have been left out of the actual document. So I don't know. So, hey, at least it's something to consider.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, you never did wear the overalls with nothing underneath after you
had I could still do it. I mean, I just, you know, I figured... Whenever we get time, you know, I'm just mad. I was supposed to go hunting next week and can't do that either.
That's a big thing for you, huh?
Yeah, man, it's tough.
You're an outdoorsman.
Yeah, I try not really outdoorsman, but I try to get some hunting done a few times a year.
What
man.
Are we hunting?
It's quail out in Oklahoma, but it's just
okay. You're a dead-eye shot.
Yeah, I'm pretty surgical with my Benelli Super Black.
Surgical.
Easy. Yeah. You remember what Alonzo told Officer Hoyt? In training day, he said, "Ooh, I'm surgical with this."
With this, and we're not on satellite radio. Hey, so, yeah.
Exactly.
I'm not into the hunting and fishing thing. I'm not an outdoorsman like that. I have friends that are.
Because I get angry so easy,
jeez.
I have to be at peace, and that gives me peace.
Violence like that gives you peace?
Yes.
Okay.
Because otherwise, I would blow my top.
Frequently.
Yes.
Nick, are you an outdoorsman?
Negative. See? I've probably gone hunting maybe twice in my life and was. I mean, it was fun.
I've admitted that I've never shot a gun. You haven't either, or have
no,
you?
I've shot a gun, but I mean, I'm by no means, you know.
I've never shot a gun before. Now I'm open to it, but I just never have, and I can't even tell you why.
Well, we can go around the corner to Top Gun and get some.
It's right down the street, right?
Yeah, on Chimney Rock, so Fountain View. Yeah, yeah. We go on Fountain View. Yeah, we can go over there, Top Gun, get on the range. I teach you a few things. I taught my wife how to shoot.
It's a costly habit, though, isn't it?
Yeah, because you're just shooting off money. I mean, you get a case of 50 bullets, and it might cost you $30, and you're just shooting $30 off or $40 off like it's nothing. Like it's nothing.
It's like going to Top Golf.
Oh yeah, exactly. Or you sitting there when you get like when I go shoot my Beowulf 50 cal, each of those bullets is like $3 a bullet, basically the equivalent. And that thing, it's the equivalent
of losing a really good Titleist golf ball.
Yeah, but it's just it goes and goes. But you don't want to, you can't just shoot one. It's like a lazy potato chip. You got to fire that sucker off. You want? I mean, the first time I let that Beowulf open. Everybody stopped and was like, what is this fool shooting over here?
So another story that came up that I wanted to get your opinion on.
Yeah.
Washington Husky basketball player Malik Dime.
Dropping dime.
Yeah, kind of, but not. He dropped a dime if the dime was a heckler from Colorado. They're on the road last night and kind of on the way off the court. He's not playing. He has a broken pinky, which, again, I'm not sure it's the smartest thing in the world, but there was I believe it was a grown man heckler, because they refer to him as a man.
Yeah.
And he just reached out in the stands and popped him.
He slapped him?
Yep, slapped him.
Ain't nothing wrong with that.
Actually, there's a lot wrong with that, whether it was justified or not. There's still a lot wrong with that. You don't know
what he said to him, just outside of just heckling. Here's my thing. If you're going to be a fan of the game, be a fan, shut up, sit down. You get the heckling and all this stuff. These still grown men, grown women that are on these courts basically for your entertainment, not for you to sit there and taunt them like the monkey or like the little lion that's in the cage at the zoo. You know what I'm saying? At some point, somebody's going to bite back. I don't have a problem with it. My thing is, if he would have shut his mouth.
See, here's the thing. And I don't know where you guys stand on this, but the thing is that it's okay to root for your team. What's bad is when you start making it personal, and exactly. everyone makes it personal. Sometimes signs do it. Sometimes the verbal barrage does it. Like the Red Rowdies at Rockets games, they do like to make signs that take somewhat personal shots at the opposing players. And I think that, you know, you may think it's fun in games, but everybody treats it differently.
Yeah, I don't play that. I told you. I mean, I never forget. This was Mario's rookie year. Mario Williams' rookie year. And one of the guys, we played at Kansas City, and one of the guys said something to him. And Mario just was like, oh, you know, real laissez-faire type. And I had to check him, like, hold on, who the you talking to? Like, no, this ain't how we get down. And he was just like, well, I would. I said, no, man, we don't play that type of stuff with these fools. I said, man.
You said it to Mario or you said it to the guy?
No, after I told the guy, I explained to Mario why I went off. You know what I mean? And he was like, oh, all right, cool. You know, but I don't know, man. Some of these fans get out of control real fast in a hurry, man.
Yeah. It's hard to reel them back in. I started with Robin Ficker.
I know how. When you slap that baby powder on on the palm of your hand and come across the left side of their face, they get right fast.
I don't know why the baby powder's on the palm of your hand. Maybe that's an explanation for another segment.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we got plenty of show to go, plenty of topics to get to. Charles Oakley, who's right, who's wrong? All I know is someone got fired and it wasn't Charles Oakley. We can talk about that. We can talk about the fact that Kyle Shanahan is already thinking about the Super Bowl that got away, even though he has a new gig. The Rockets won last night, even though Eric Gordon didn't play. There's plenty more to get to. 713-780-ESPN, where you can text us or call the show, and or you can reach us on Twitter, at TrapJ99, at The Producer. Is it The Producer, Nick?
Correct.
What?
The new title, yes. You didn't know either.
Get the freak
and
out of here.
And at Pac-Man Joel. We're here till 4 o'clock, ESPN 97.5.
My name is Bob Lee, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Happy Valentine's Day, honey.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Travis Johnson. Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Joel, Trav, and Nick on an FYF Friday going strong from now until 4 p.m. here at ESPN 97.5 as we continue to roll on. DJ Nick already spinning tunes. They're getting the head to bob and weave of one Travis Johnson. That's always a good sign. But I'm sure the request line will be opened up very shortly with little to no notice. And I'm sure that you will be requesting random tunes, too. So, boys, Rockets win last night. I watched it. I don't know if y'all did. First thing I noticed, which I don't know that many people did, but I was very, very pleased to see the original number. I shouldn't say the original, but one of the great number 11s, now that it's retired, sitting behind the Rockets bench on the road last night. He lives in Charlotte. Vernon Maxwell, right behind the Rockets bench last night. I love the reconnection with the franchise. I love the fact that he's connected again to the team, and he's been tweeting positive things about the team, trying to make his way back in with the franchise, and I thought that was really cool. I saw him actually have some exchanges with some of the players too, so the fact that he's back and following his squad always makes me feel good.
Because he was such a lovable dude. I mean, his personality being that guy on the floor was the reason why all Rockets fans loved him. Like, nobody, if he wasn't the way he was on the court during his NBA career, I don't think he would have as many fans as he does now in Houston.
But I think you mean that, and you correct me if I'm wrong, but I think that goes more to not just points and the way he scored. That was the kind of like Travis was saying on other stuff. He didn't take mess from anybody.
Yep.
He was the first one ready. I keep saying that they need and what they're lacking is, for lack of a better tune, like in hockey, a goon. A guy that is going to be the hitman, that you touch my guy and I will blast you. And he always had everybody's back. He was willing to go up in the stands if a heckler said something about his family. I just think everybody loved because they want, somehow deep inside of them, if they could, they would be like Vernon Maxwell and be, I mean, do I say the epitome of what toughness, like true toughness is? Because he didn't take crap from anybody and he was willing to fight for whatever he believed in.
Oh, no question. It's like Big Oak. I mean, it's like Charles Oakley, yeah. Same thing. That's why the fans loved him. You know, when you talking about big Vernon Maxwell, and you look at guys like Charles Oakley, you look at the guys like the Davis boys back in with the Pacers.
Oh. Well, you know, Lambeer, Rick Mahorn.
These guys, they're loved and revered where they're from. You got to realize when they were doing what they were doing to Oakley the other day, the fans start chanting his name.
Well, they love him there.
They don't chant the guys on the Knicks' name right now. They were chanting like Kobe Bryant was MVP.
They were chanting Carmelo at one point in the game.
Yeah, at one point, but they chanted Oakley a lot louder than they chant that Melo.
Now, you know they weren't chanting Phil at any time.
No.
Spike Lee said, I'm not picking sides, but I'll peck Phil's bag for him to get him out.
Man. He said that?
Yeah, he said it right after the game the other night.
Wow.
So here's how this drama shakes out, and you read my mind, Travis Johnson, because this is where I was going with this. We start by seeing Vernon, and we'll get back to the Rockets.
So great, so organic.
We get to the point now where this Nick situation, and Nick said it during our pre-show meeting, I don't know that there's many teams that are just more of a disaster right now than the New York Knicks.
The Cleveland Browns.
That's the one team that kind of came to mind. But I think in a lot of ways, yeah, and you even said, they're on their way. Yeah. They're starting to do some things right. But from a Knicks perspective, they can't do wrong right. They evidenced what happened the other night. We've had some people here that knew people in the stands that were between Oakley and owner of the Knicks, James Dolan, the other night, who swear that Oakley did nothing wrong and did not say anything, but that a previous beef that has been longstanding between Dolan and Oakley got to the point where Dolan decided, I'm going to have my security guards just get him out of here. And as anybody knows with Charles Oakley, don't mess with the dude.
No.
He has a quick fuse, but he's also a very, very strong and very, very savvy fighter. We knew when he played, he and Anthony Mason were two of those guys for the Knicks that said, touch my guy and you're going to feel the floor.
And then how about they say Phil calls Michael Jordan to calm him down?
Because that is MJ's boy. I've seen
them together. So trust me, and I can't talk about what I've seen on air, but I've seen those two together, and I know how tight they are. But Phil calls him to calm him down. But it's like, Phil, you could easily just squash the situation.
Well, there was a rumor, too, that Phil was down in the tunnel trying to get
Oak under control.
Right.
And trying to get Jordan on the phone to talk to Oak, but they'd already arrested him and took him away.
By the time he got to the tunnel, it wasn't really – I mean, they were controlling him. It was not like he was out of control.
There's 10 guys.
There was like 10 guys on him. Yeah, so – I mean, he was kind of – in control at that point, not Oakley, but they were kind of in control of him. I mean, he wasn't going anywhere. But,
so the news gets better, right?
Uh-huh.
So because when Oak got out from the police station, he first started by claiming his innocence.
Yep.
Right? And I don't know what the hell you're doing cleaning your teeth with a straw right now, but it is hitting the microphone. And so we think, okay, well, he's going to, of course, say he's innocent. But a lot of people started backing that up. Now, Nick sent me something yesterday, and we didn't get to it during the course of the show, but it basically was the Knicks responding to that to deny that he was innocent and completely say that they were right, which normally means where there's smoke, there's fire. Because they're already worried that the truth is starting to get out. Mm-hmm. There's also the belief that the longtime PR department for the Knicks did not send out that press release, that was coming straight from the owner. And I think if for no other reason, look at the last line of the press release.
I hope he gets
when you
help.
Talk about, yeah, I hope he gets the help he needs. That could be a lot of different things, but that is definitely killing his character. That's no defamation question. Of character right
like,
there.
Like you said, he said they attacked my character.
Yep. And no one should take that.
No.
If any one of the three of us had someone say that about us, we'd be the first one defending ourselves if it wasn't true to say, you know, wait a minute, there's a line drawn in the sand, but that's too much.
Did you hear Michael Rapaport yesterday?
I saw one of his tweets. I did not hear him.
Nick, can you pull that up? Some Michael Rapaport's stuff yesterday when he was talking about I tweeted, but he was just saying Charles Oakley is the epitome of New York and how we felt since 1973. You know, and it was so passionate. I was like, dude, like this is crazy. Like he was like, dude, you know how New Yorkers get to games? We take the trains, we take the buses, we walk with our 50 cent coffee. You know what I'm saying? He said, and we get in there and we watch. He said the last time that we were up for a championship, who was the all-star? Defensive MVP, Charles Oakley.
And if you missed it, because I don't know that you did, you're under a rock, but if you missed it, the Knicks actually, and again, these are the kind of situations when a team issues a statement regarding a situation, it's always going to be completely politically correct, middle of the road, but just basically not give you information without giving you anything. But instead, the Knicks put out a statement that said, Charles Oakley came to the game tonight, behaved in a highly inappropriate and completely abusive manner. He's been ejected, currently being arrested by the NYPD. He was a great Knick, and we hope he gets some help soon. That last statement, if you're a PR department with any professional team in America, does not make it in the final cut. It may be something that an owner or a general manager suggests, but any PR person of right mind would jump in and say, probably not going to use that because it's just going to draw more attention. Well, they used it. Now the news comes out today. The head of security for the Garden has been relieved of his duties. I don't know what that tells you guys, but it tells me I'm leaning towards Oak even more now that he probably was in the right more than he was in the wrong.
Yeah, no question.
I wasn't expecting just no question, but elaborate.
No, I mean, I think now it looks like they're sitting there saying, hey, man, for one, this guy bought a ticket. For two, because the Knicks don't own Madison Square Garden. The Knicks are tenants in Madison, Garden.
Good point.
So you don't have the power to kick somebody out of an arena that I own. You see what I'm saying? So now they're looking like, yeah, you might have been doing the bidding of this guy right here, but just like this other guy, he's just a customer. He don't run nothing over here.
Well, what's interesting about what you just said, though, is that the Knicks are saying James Dolan, who does own the Knicks and the Garden, is doing something about the situation. And he supposedly is the guy that fired security chief Frank Benedetto.
You know why he might have fired him? Because Frank probably told him, what am I kicking him out for? He probably told him, what am I kicking him out for? What is going to be the excuse of me kicking him out? And probably he wasn't a good soldier. He probably sent them other guys over like, I'm not finna go mess with Charles Oakley like this. For what? He might have been insubordinate. That might have been the reason he got it, because he didn't follow instructions to say, let's kick him out for no reason. And this guy's probably looking like...
I think he's saving face. He looks so bad, and the word and the reports are coming out. And look, as we've said many a time, the people that... there's a reporter in every one of us now because we all have a phone that can shoot video. All the video that was coming in, no one saw anything where Oak started anything.
None.
And Oak's statement was, I'm not going to walk into a place and just start hollering out, James Dolan, James Dolan, said Oakley, who's been at odds with Dolan for years. It's embarrassing, man. I didn't do any of that. I didn't know he was sitting in front of me at first until the guards walked over there, which lends even more credence to the rumor that he was sitting there minding his own business. Dolan saw him, was a little intimidated, a little worried, a little concerned, and sent his security guys to already go try and take Oakley out.
Just like a coward, always. And then he didn't even get up. If you a boss like that, you'd have got up and said, man, get him out of here.
The other thing I think, which I noticed, and Nick and I and Barry were talking about this, but the thing that I kept coming back to was the security guys put their hands on Oak.
And that's where they went wrong.
You can't do that to another man. You can ask him to leave, but I mean, when you start putting your hands on him, that's an invitation.
Not just that. I'm not leaving. If I pay for this, I'm not going nowhere.
That's a good point, too. So we can continue to talk about that. We got plenty more to get to, but let us know what you think. 713-780-ESPN. Hit us up on Twitter. We're here till 4, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Travis Johnson, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Joel Blank, Travis Johnson, Nick Sciarra, as we head on down the road to 4 o'clock and get you guys ready for the weekend. And it is an FBF Friday, and it is full of fun and fantastic stories like the one that we just had and we were talking about with Charles Oakley. By the way, Kevin McHale will join us in a half hour at 2 o'clock. Coach McHale will be on the hotline. Nicky said hit him up on the cell. He'll be ready to go. And so get your questions ready. I've got several. A great time to have Coach McHale on because we'll be talking about this Oakley situation. We'll be talking about Kevin Durant's first return to OKC. Talking to him about the All-Star balloting. Talking to him about a lot of different things going on, like the thought of when you're a coach in the NBA and you think you have a good team, is 50-50 on the road good enough? Or are you looking at winning three quarters of your games or winning every game when you're on the road and you're a contender? I want to get his thoughts on that. Barry and I had kind of debated back and forth on that, and Barry thought that Every coach he's known has said if you go 50-50 on the road and win most of your home games, you're good.
Who does that? It's, I mean, it depends.
It depends on what level you're talking about with coaching.
But not just that. If you're talking about the NFL, you say, yeah, let's win 50% of the games on the road and win all the games at home. Then you're looking at it. You're looking at a 12-4 season. But in basketball, you play entirely too many games on. You got to go better than 50% on the road.
Well, and I said, look, he said it's every coach he's ever heard, and I said no, and I'm not going to dispute the fact that I've heard coaches say that. I think the difference is when you're coaching a contending team, 50-50 is not good enough.
Not at all.
And whether you know, and look, we can go back and forth, Nick. I don't know if you actually. I know how you're a Rockets fan, but I don't know if we're any. If you're in the position to say you think they are a contender right now for a championship.
The Rockets?
Yes.
Nah, I think it's borderline. They have to start. This is, like, remember we've talked about the 2 10-game win streaks, mm-hmm. and then they had the slip-up. Mm-hmm. I think I would make the argument that was the first slip-up of the, or major slip-up of the seasons in terms of a streak of losses.
Right.
If they have another one of these streak of losses like that, I probably would make the argument that no, they may not be a contender.
And I've taken a lot of heat because I won't give them contender status yet, but I will completely commend them on the regular season. But I said, one, we're not going to know what their roster is going to look like for the playoffs till after the trade deadline.
And really, it's just Gordon. I mean, there's obviously a lot of other important pieces, but Gordon is probably the most important part.
Well, of what you already have. Right. But I'm saying in order to anoint them a contender, as you know, I've been adamant about the fact that you've got to get someone that can play the low post on both ends and maybe another playmaker or point guard so that you don't have to rely so heavily on James Harden would help. I don't know if they'll do any of that, and that's why I'm not going to pass judgment. But if they don't do any of that and they stand pat, I'm going to give them all the credit in the world for a regular season, but I'm not going to be the guy picking them to win the Western Conference. There's just too many good teams that are deeper than them, especially in front court situations when – whether you want to admit it now or not, because it doesn't fit your style of play, it slows down, becomes more of a half-court game, and people are going to try and do the Belichick and take away what you do best, and everyone knows what they do best is shoot it and run.
Yeah, and if they're not able to do that and Gordon is not healthy, I can certainly see this being an issue. They're not going to beat the Warriors like that. They're not going to beat the Warriors without Gordon, I would make the argument, unless Daryl Morey makes a big, big move in the trade line by the trade deadline that you think is going to really help and make a difference.
See, the key is, too, you got to get a big that fits their system. Like, Milwaukee makes a deal last week, and they send one of the overpaid Plumleys away, and they get Roy Hibbert, who used to be...
Why do you want to take a shot at the Plumleys,
because they're making $14 million a year to be nothing. You send away a Plumley to get a Roy Hibbert, who was a one-time All-Star.
Yes.
And a guy like Spencer Hawes, who would be a really good fit for the Rockets because he's a stretched 4-5, but can still rebound a little bit. But I don't think that Roy Hibbert could play in the Rockets Rockets rotation because he can't run.
And Haas is kind of like a Ryan Anderson, honestly.
It's a good point. It's a very good comparison. So what I'm saying is the rumors of Ibaka make a lot of sense simply because, even if without getting into all the fine details of money, Ibaka, because he defends first, because he's athletic enough to run the floor, because he's got some offensive post moves, and he can finish on the break, would be a super fit. My big concern with them, with that whole move, was can he get along with James Harden again? Because when there were rumors when Harden was out, it was because they had also had a rift, as well as the fact that they had already signed Ibaka, and between the two, they could only sign one. But I think Ibaka's the kind of guy that fits really well. I just don't know if the money does. But you can't just go out and just get any big, because if you get a big that can't run, it doesn't fit your system. It doesn't make sense.
Yeah, exactly. Because they're a real fast team.
Right. Because they want to play at a very high tempo, as well as shoot a lot of threes and do a lot of things. So that's what I'm saying. It's a very intricate fit if you're going to find a big that can mesh with what you already have. But I agree, and I've said all along, that's why I think Eric Gordon should have been pushing for an all-star status for Eric Gordon. Because Eric Gordon has been an all-star for the Houston Rockets no matter what. And the reason why I said he's their MVP is because you know what you get from James Harden. You should expect that. No one expected Eric Gordon to be this productive. But here's my thing, and I can't say why, and I wish any one of the three of us, even if we stayed at a Holiday Inn Select last night, we're not a doctor, but Gordon was completely injury-free and rolling while they were putting together these win streaks and everything.
I think Travis made the best point on that. When you're rehabbing one injury, you tend to aggravate another part of your body.
That's why you got, I mean, it's always, it's just like any workout, man. You got to go one for one on a lot of, when you're doing things. If you're going to rehab, if you're rehabbing an ankle or a hip, you still got to do the other side.
Right.
Like, even though it's not the side is injured, you do it just to keep the strength up on that side, just so you don't you gonna start limping and create imbalances in your body.
And that it's a back issue with Gordon. They're saying he's gonna try and play against it's Phoenix. I think they're playing
Saturday
next.
Night.
Why just sit him out until the point where he's just not in shape, and then when he knows 100% the back is not tight no more, then get back in shape. I think it's a better move than just trying to force him back with the back.
Well, take that point to another level. You got the All-Star break coming up. If he skips the last three games, two or three games, you get an extended break. But here, the problem that I have, and I understand exactly what you're saying, Travis, but the problem I have with what you're analyzing with Eric Gordon is these are injuries he's had in the past. He's always had issues with his knees. He's had issues of recent years in New Orleans with his back. Whether they're connected or not, it's always connected to one leads to a time on the sitting out games and then something else, and he starts missing more, and then it steamrolls. That's what I was concerned about early in the year. I was like so happy he hadn't missed a game, and he was playing so well. And all of a sudden, you guys remember, I went, oh, boy. Because the minute he missed one or two games, I was like,
And truthfully, I think it was a legitimate concern of the Rockets. I think that's the reason why he's kind of, you know, playing the six man role. He was okay with the minutes that he was getting. You know, he was willing to play that role. I mean, for him to be as effective as he was this season, you can't limit his minutes anymore. That was like the perfect number. What was it, like 28 or 29
That's
minutes?
Like 27 to 28 minutes a game. But here's the thing. You gave him 4 years guaranteed at $15 million a year. It's way far away from being Brock Osweiler because you're getting production out of him. But the injuries have to be a concern, because when you really need the most production out of him, when you need him to be there for you every day in every way, I'm not sold that he's going to be. Now, I want to believe he will be, and I want to believe for the playoffs he will be, but I don't know. This is why I'm concerned, because if this is a pattern now, can you tell me it's just going to be turned off and stopped and he's going to play in every playoff game? No, there's no crystal ball.
HGH.
Okay. HGH, right. But why? Because it hasn't been a banned substance yet?
Well, I mean, do they take blood in that league? You might decide to GH it
up. I think I've clearly stated I did not stay at a Holiday Inn Select last night, and I'm not a doctor, so I cannot answer that question.
Well, you did stay on a Gallery Furniture mattress last night.
Every night. You know why?
Why?
Because Mac has the best mattresses at the best price. They're phenomenal, and he takes care of people in Houston, Texas, as you know.
I-45 team, we're back.
Okay.
I can't do it.
That's pretty good.
you liked it, didn't you?
Mac's got Macapedic mattresses now. And if you don't know what a Macapedic mattress is, you need to head to one of the three showrooms of Gallery Furniture and check them out. They start at $19.99, but right off the top, you get an $800 Gallery Furniture gift card. And if you want to have a great night's sleep and you want to change things in your life for the better and feel great every day, you got to check these mattresses out, because they are the real deal, and you will sleep like a baby, and they will make sure you feel great the next morning. Everything that Mac sells is made in America, solid wood furniture, 2-for-1 recliners, Macapedic sleep sets. They have the largest selection of living room furniture of all made in America furniture, and of course, dining room tables and chairs, all solid wood, all made in America, all from Gallery Furniture. And the best part of everything is, you buy today, you get it tonight. That's the way Mac does business. There's no back order slips. There's no, hey, we'll put that on order for you, and we'll see what in a few weeks if we can get it in for you. No, you say you want it tonight, you'll get it by tonight, as long as you order today. That's the way they do it at Gallery Furniture. Everything's in stock. They have warehouses, and they are willing to cater to your needs, because Mac wants you to be a return customer. He's locally owned and operated, and he wants to cater to the people of Houston, Texas. Your home theater needs an upgrade because you didn't have people over for the big game because your room looked more like a bat cave than it did a man cave. Well, guess what? Gallery Furniture. Special ordered leather seating, upholstered furniture, all to fit your home theater system, and great electronics as well. Three locations: Grand Parkway, Sugarland between Katy, and also in the Galleria, Westheimer at Post Oak, and the mainstay, Travis, the location that everybody knows. Mac sits at the front desk, and he's waiting to greet you and put you in the right hands to get what you need. That's I-45 North, exit Tidwell Parker. No back quarter slips. Buy today, get it tonight. Gallery really will save you money.
ESPN 97.5.
What happened last, first of all, it ain't Seattle we're talking about, my friend. We're talking about New York. You know how New Yorkers get to, the games? We ride the trains. We ride the buses.
Yeah.
Or we walk on our feet. Okay, and we got our 50-cent cup of coffee. Charles Oakley represents that train ride. Okay? What happened last night was a tipping point for all the New York Knicks fans. This has been going on since 1973. It exemplifies our frustration, our dysfunction, and our heartbreak since 1973. The last time we had a hope of winning a championship, you know who was an all-star? First team defense? Charles Oakley. Okay? Every team needs a Charles Oakley, whether it's Udonis Haslem with the big three down in Miami or Rick Fox protecting Shaq and Kobe. The prettiest goon in NBA history, Rick Fox. He wasn't a goon. The prettiest goon was Rick Fox because every team needs him. For you to discredit him, this is a guy who his career was almost a double-double. First team defense. He wasn't just a goon. How dare you say that? He wasn't one of the Davis boys. This is an all-star player who during that 94 team, if John Starks had made a couple of those three-point plays and we won the ring, you think that Charles Oakley wouldn't be sitting courtside whenever he wants?
Okay, first of all.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Travis Johnson, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
That was solid right there.
Yeah.
That's a good call on your part.
Hey, Michael Rappaport.
I've always loved Michael Rappaport, but Michael Rappaport, aside from people that know him from the celebrity games or whatever like that, but dude, he knows his hoop.
Yeah, he does. And I think that's when I saw that yesterday, I was like, man, look how passionate he was about it, how informed he gave it. Like, he just was like, dude, that's why. And I think to me, it showed why people start chanting Oakley's name. Because they know like you said, if Patrick Ewing hits that layup, and if John Starks hit,
it's butts candies. Akeem made a hell of a block on John Starks.
You're right. Yeah, and I know Houston fans don't want to hear it. You know what I mean? If John Starks hit a couple more of those threes, if all of that stuff, we all know if was a fifth, we all be drunk.
Right.
But he had plenty of points, man. And I thought it was great. I thought it was real passionate. I thought it spoke to
aside from the
heart of New York.
Championship spiel. All right, because we all know
in Houston they don't want to hear it.
The big Nigerian took care of business, all right?
That's because Jordan wasn't playing. But go ahead.
Don't start that either because that's another discussion. But at the same time, and Nick, I don't know if the only thing that I would argue with, and I don't know how, you know, if this is like too young for you, if you're too young for this, Rick Fox was not a goon.
But that's what he just said, though. He said Rick Fox stepped into that. He said every team needs a goon. He said Rick Fox stepped into that role and was the prettiest goon, and he wasn't a goon.
Exactly.
To me, Derek Fisher was more of a goon. Derek Fisher would take the cheap shots to do it.
Yeah, you're right. But I
think all of them, all the supporting cast knew as long as you protected Kobe and LeBron and Shaq, you were going to be okay.
And I think that was his point, was like every team needs him. So I guess,
what have I been saying forever about what the Rockets really need? And I've, you know what? And before I even knew you guys, I was saying when they had Yao was always so nice, and you'd see him after games. He'd be bloody all over, scratches and bruises and everything like that. And no one was there to say, if you touch my all-star center, I'm going to put you on the floor. And I always thought that was the one thing they really needed.
I thought I thought Chuck Atkins should have been that guy. I mean, not Chuck Atkins. Chuck Hayes, my bad. I know another guy named Chuck Atkins. But Chuckie Atkins
played in the league.
I thought Chuck should have been that guy. I mean, Chuck, how many years did Chuck get in?
Chuck played a lot of years, but Chuck's also the nicest guy in the world, too.
But, I mean, Chuck, you 6'4" on the NFL, on the NBA roster.
That was Charles Barkley.
But he wasn't Charles Barkley. Don't sit there and say.
I'm just saying, you want to talk about
Chuck Hayes,
what
Chuck
height
Hayes
you have to be
dude.
To do certain things. Charles Chuck was Hayes, 6'4.5".
Yeah, Chuck Hayes is a great dude. But,
great dude.
But he ain't no Charles Barkley. And my whole thing is, if he could have stayed, he could still believe he was, like you said, if he was that goon.
See, that's what I'm saying. They've needed this forever. And I've always, look, I tell the story all the time, and in kidding, I mentioned it to Mikhail, and I haven't told it full out. But the fact of the matter is, and the bottom line is, Coach McHale, when he was coaching the Rockets, was desperate for a guy like that. And I think they thought, whether it's Joey Dorsey or there was someone else on the roster, he constantly challenged the guys to step up, to say, if Dwight's going to take a cheap shot, if James is going to get knocked down, who's going to be the first one to stand up for them and knock someone else down? Or who's going to send the first shot across the bow, in the example of Golden State? Who's going to knock Draymond Green on his ass to shut his mouth and to make a statement that, hey, you're messing with the wrong team, picking the wrong poison, because in our locker room, we don't like you and we don't tolerate the stuff that you think is cool on the court that you get away with.
Yeah.
But no one was willing to step up and do that. This team, to me, has the same identity. They've got a lot of nice guys. Now, Pat Beverly is that guy to an extent.
But Pat Beverly is also the smallest exactly guy
right.
on the court.
Yeah, exactly. I was going to say, but he's not going to – he doesn't carry his carry weight literally because he's just so small.
Right.
If you put an Oakley next to a Yao, an Oakley next to the guys when you had Dwight or now with the team you had, I guarantee you there would be a lot less mess that the Rockets would be dealing with.
Well, let me ask you this. Question. How many goons are there? Goons are kind of like –
a dying breed?
Yeah. Like you don't. There's not many that exist anymore.
Hey, have you seen that movie Goon? With
it's pretty funny.
Is it Sean William Scott? That's
yep.
his name?
Yep.
It's pretty actually pretty good.
No, I have not. I told you in the last 5 years, my wife, we just don't watch movies. It kills me, but I haven't seen movies in forever.
What?
I've You're seen like out. A handful of movies in the last 5 years.
You're missing out right now.
I agree.
That was a movie I watched in a hotel just randomly and was
but
like.
But I'm saying, Nick, you make a good point, though, because I'd have to sit there and look at NBA rosters, but to think of teams.
They're not available.
Draymond is probably the first.
But he's too good to be a full-blown goon.
He's not a full-blown goon, but he's
Anderson Varejao is.
Yeah, Varejao, yeah, you're right.
For one, he's a guy that's not afraid to just check in and knock someone down. Mozgov was kind of that guy, too.
Yeah.
Where Mozgov would say, hey, look, you know what? Part of my job is to do whatever the team needs, and if you need me to go knock someone down, I'll do it.
I mean, you can never trust a man named Timothy.
Timofey.
Yeah, exactly. Like, it's not Timothy. Like,
it's
so Timofey. You just so hood, you just name your child Timothy.
I can't tell you how many games I did when I thought that was a misspelling at first.
You're like, Timothy Mozgov.
Yeah. No, it's Timofey.
Hey, that's like Henri Crockett. His real name was Henry until all of a sudden he got to the NFL and was like, no, I'm Henri.
Well, Dorsett and Dorsett and everybody's screwed with their name a couple times.
Yeah,
there's been more modern times. But you're right, Nick. I mean, look, I look at rosters and I'd have to really sit there and tell you there's a couple left. There are some guys, I mean, like Lance Stephenson is a guy you know he's just certifiably crazy.
Yeah.
Like he's going to mess with you. But in terms of don't mess with our guy or we'll knock you down, yes, it is kind of a dying breed. But I think that coaches, and we'll talk to Coach McHale about this at the top of the hour, coaches, they yearn to still have a guy like that on their roster to say, look, I'll be honest with you, when I was a ball boy in Milwaukee growing up during the Bucks years, Barkley was probably the biggest nemesis that the Bucks had. Don Nelson had Paul Molcheski on his roster, and during Philly series or Philly games, the only thing that Paul Molcheski was charged with doing was check into the game and get under Barkley's skin and pick a fight because his goal was to get them both thrown out. Because the trade-off is, I'll take losing Paul Molcheski if you lose Charles Barkley. And even though Barkley knew it, He bit on it. I can't tell how many times. There was a time when I was coming back from the locker room, and I used to be in charge of the visiting team locker room. I'm coming back on the floor, and I missed the fact that they had gotten into it, both got thrown out, and Barkley literally went into the tunnel trying to get Molcheski, and I got caught in the middle of it. And I'm like, I don't think people realize how real that – back in the day –
oh, those are some real beasts.
And they were not afraid to go, like, when we're talking about the Dallas game where the Rockets went over to the Dallas locker room, that was a pretty regular occurrence in the NBA. Like, it ain't ended just because the game ended.
Or like when Shaq got in. It was Kobe and what's the guy who wife won't let him see anybody?
Doug Christie. Well, Jerry Stackhouse was known for being the first guy to say, I'll meet you in the locker room afterwards. And he wasn't kidding. And if not, I'll meet you at the buses. Carmelo got into one time at the buses.
Well, the bus, because the man told him his wife tastes like honey nut Cheerios.
Yes, I understand.
If you tell
that.
Me my wife tastes,
there's
the
certain
thing
details
is, probably,
I was going to leave out, but okay.
But if you tell me, especially when you know this guy was in the league and your wife was on TV and doing her thing before
la,
you was
la,
even out of high
la,
school.
La, 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 la. Oh, sorry.
Before you was out of high school, and now all of a sudden. The dude who was the man at the time tells your wife tastes like honey nut Cheerios. Yeah, I feel a certain type of way about that too.
That goes back to the whole Ariza thing. If you say, you know, there's certain things that are off limits.
Off, no question.
And so then there's no boundaries. Once they're off limits, you can go anywhere to finish it.
No question.
Speaking about going anywhere to finish it, how about finishing an education for a Houston kid that may not have done the right thing the first time around? Well, you can be a part of it. It's all because of you that the Houston Can Cars for Kids program works, and it continues to be a success story here in the Houston community. It's a real simple process. You look around your yard, your storage unit, your driveway, back in the field somewhere. You know that there's a vehicle, a clunker. It's not working anymore. Maybe it is, but you just want to get rid of it. It's an eyesore. It's an RV. It's a boat. It's a motorcycle, a truck, car, whatever it is, and you've been meaning to get rid of it. Well, then you got to take an ad out, and then you got to try and get it to be moved, and you got to fill out the paperwork. All of it's taken care of for you by the Houston Cans Cars for Kids program. And the best thing is, for what you were probably going to sell it for, you're going to get a tax deduction that is going to help you in the same way while you're helping the kids of Houston, Texas. It's a give-give, win-win, and you guys come out feeling really good about yourselves for doing what you did. You get online right now, HoustonCarsForKids.com. Check out the program. Call 713-225-4226. Tell them you got a vehicle, a clunker, and you want it taken away. They do the rest. 713-225-4226. Or get online, HoustonCarsForKids.com. You let them know you got something, they come out, they tow it away, they do the paperwork, they give you the tax deduction, you're good to go, you've made a difference, and then they take it and they turn it into book money, money for eyeglasses, bus fare, warm meals, all the things these kids need so that they don't have distractions or reasons why they can't get an education, just reasons why they can. It's a fantastic program. Please do yourself a favor and the kids at the Houston Can Academy and call 713-225-4226 or HoustonCarsForKids.com. Right off the car, not the kid.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.